Mystic Michaela, spiritual family. Welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today, we are talking about psychic children, how children manifest their psychic connection, what that looks like, what it may have looked like in you when you were a child. I'm going to go in pretty deep there. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. And you know what? I think I was a psychic kid.
Yeah? What happened to you that makes you think that way?
Think about it. Like, when I would get asked questions like, who made that mess? Okay, say there was like a big mess in the playroom. We had the playroom. And I knew it wasn't me, and I didn't know who made the mess. I'd be like, it was my sister.
Oh.
So I didn't know that. I didn't see her do it, but I knew it was her. Wouldn't that be?
Psychic kid.
That's exactly
what I'm talking about today.
Yes.
Exactly, stories just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, usually no one believed me.
Right.
You know, I didn't have the support of my parents, and thus, I guess I didn't grow up psychic, as we learned in another episode. I'm not psychic.
Right. It wasn't developed.
But if they would have listened to me and said, hey, yeah, that was Carrie that made the mess in the playroom.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, I didn't see it, but maybe I would be psychic
Exactly. Children need encouragement.
The Mystic Scott Show, whatever. All right, so anyway, we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah.
What do we do? Leanna, our assistant and the admin of our Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family page, came down.
She did. She's in Florida.
She's hanging out in Florida. So we decided, you know, hey, we know it's COVID, whatever, but maybe we should get out a little bit.
And we haven't really gotten out that much, let's be honest. Like, you have that thing where you don't like being around people anyways.
Correct.
Pandemic or no pandemic.
Right.
You've talked about that.
Yes. So we decided to go down to Two Georges, which is it's a restaurant, bar on the Intracoastal in Florida. I think it's Boynton Beach. It could be Lake Worth. But anyway, so we went down there. And, you know, the reason why I like that place, pre-pandemic and during the pandemic, is they have these, like, seats that you can sit in that are, like, kind of swings.
Yes.
It's like your own private area, and it's outdoors.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I chose that place.
Right.
But we didn't know when we got there what we were going to encounter.
Well, you got to remember, like, we're in Florida.
Right.
And, you know, the virus doesn't really exist here.
In certain areas of Florida, it does not. That's
it just
true.
Doesn't exist in some places. Let's put it that way.
No, if you go to Ocala, it's not there.
It's not there. Palm Beach, a little more. Palm Beach County.
There's a little more cases.
A little more. And we're in Palm Beach County. But, like, some places, like, it does. So we're in Two Georges, which I haven't been since the pandemic began.
Right.
And it was always a happening place. It's very Florida. But we were the only people wearing a mask other than the workers when we walked in.
Yes. And then the first bad sign was the valet.
Oh, right.
And everyone knows valet.
You don't like that.
But here's my thing with the valet and COVID. You know, I want to park my own car, first of all, no matter what the time is.
It's a red person thing.
But now there's a guy getting into my car. Very nice guy.
He was so nice.
He was wonderful. But if that guy has COVID, you know, if he's got the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Then he's going to put it on my steering wheel.
Okay.
And he's going to be breathing in the car.
Yeah.
And then the next car and the next car and the next car.
Yeah. But Scott, we're in Florida. It's okay.
Oh, I know.
There's no virus.
So I was like, I mean, I just was, I actually, like, you know, did a little bit of rant with him and asked if I could park my own car.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that whole thing.
Yeah, he said, like, absolutely not or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, he got all.
He got, like, really angry about it like that?
Yeah, like, angry. He's a nice guy. But, you know,
but he's
I
just
asked,
like, absolutely
hey, can
not.
I park my own car? I'll still give you the tip, I told him. I'm like, hey, I'll still give you the, you
I
know,
can see you doing
the
that.
Few dollar tip.
Yeah.
But could I park my own car?
Yeah, because, like, the parking spots were just right there.
Yeah.
Like, he was just parking it like a second away.
He moved it like 7 feet.
It's true.
It was like, I was actually in the spot. He just, like, put it
into
the end
of the
spot.
You have to let it go. Like, this is about, I'm going to stop you at the beginning of a red rant.
Okay.
It was about to become a red rant. You were getting real fired.
You're right.
I have to stop you.
It's too early in the episode.
It's too early. You were going to red rant about how he just had to park it 7 feet away, which is not an exaggeration. That's truly what happened. But I know you were about to, like, freak out about that.
Okay, fine. All
so
right,
I have
anyway.
To stop you. But we walk in and, you know, bars opened in our state. Is it the state? I don't even know.
In our state.
Or just
all,
the county or like
no,
what?
No, the whole state of Florida, all bars are open. 100% capacity.
And let me just tell you, it wasn't just a few people at the bar. It was packed.
It was packed.
Everyone was on top of each other. It's Florida, so it's kind of like hot and humid and stagnant air. And people were on top of each other. Like literally sitting on each other's laps, next to each other at the bar. Uh-huh. It looked like a crowd. even if it wasn't a pandemic, it was flipping crowded in there, and we weren't going to sit in that part. So we had to walk through that part to get to the outdoor swing place that you like to sit at because nobody's there.
Yeah.
But we were the only people. So it was me, Juliana, and Brianna, our 11-year-old, and we were all wearing masks. Yes. And being an empath at this time and also having the abilities I have, it's very stressful because I normally know what people are thinking or feeling or whatever, but people were staring at us.
I did not notice.
Now, of course, you didn't. I was so Brianna noticed it, too.
Really?
Brianna did too. She was uncomfortable too.
Okay.
And I didn't talk to Leanna about it, but Brianna was very uncomfortable because she was looking at me because I locked eyes with this one guy and he had like hatred towards me because I was, and I just felt it.
Wow.
And I just felt it because I feel like wearing a mask for some reason has gotten political. And so I'm walking just with my mask on and like all the employees are wearing a mask too, but nobody else was wearing masks. And I felt so uncomfortable. And I think in my life, I'm so used to just because of my abilities, like I've gotten so good at just being invisible or just trying not to make any sort of blip on anybody's radar because it's uncomfortable for me. Man, that was hard. Like it was very, very stressful. And I can imagine a lot of you guys listening are feeling similar things right now, like when you go to the grocery store or when you just go out at all, but especially in that, I don't know, something must have been going on there or something because nobody was wearing a mask and people were really staring at us, but we got through it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just concerned about getting the table and making sure we got the table I wanted.
Yeah, that's, you were like really one track mind. I want that one table that's not and by anybody else.
Right. So that was my whole thing the whole time. I mean, I was wearing, I did get a desk stare too, but that was because I was wearing a Buffalo Bills jersey and it was from a Dolphin fan.
Oh.
So that probably wasn't the same as you.
No, that's different. But, that's like a more friendly hatred.
Yeah.
Like
I was like,
yeah. Like, this was more like, I feel like he made a judgment about me because I was wearing a mask and it really stressed me out. And then I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I haven't gone out.
Do you think that was for all four of us or just for you?
I just felt, I felt like, yeah, it was for all of us. Like, what are these people doing? Like, what is this about? Or like, whatever. Cause we were masked up, you know, and nobody else was. And it's just, it's very uncomfortable out there. And, you know, I just trying to be safe and keeping other people safe. Like, I'm not trying to. And you could argue, like, I made that whole thing up. You know what I mean? Like, you could argue that.
Yeah.
Like, you're just making it up.
Right.
And, like, I know I wasn't, but you could argue that. But I think a lot of people are going out and experiencing similar things.
That could be.
Like,
I mean,
and even if it's not a pandemic, like, when you just feel someone who has, like, a bias towards you and you're just like, oh, my God, you know, help. Like, this isn't my intention. I'm just existing. But it was very uncomfortable.
It was,
and the place got a little rowdy. But you know what was funny? There were the people at the table next to us were doing tarot card
readings.
They were,
yeah. They
How cool was that?
That was so funny.
That's so Florida.
I saw that, yeah. I mean, it was like a very South Florida purple scene.
It was. Yes.
I mean, I saw a guy literally drop his silverware on the floor, on a dirty floor.
Yeah.
Someone walked by and stepped on it, and then he used it.
South Florida purple.
South Florida purple.
You know?
Like, who would use a dirty
fork?
It's
a 5-second rule, you know?
No, no. Like, someone, but literally, someone came by, stepped on his fork,
and he
still continued to eat, you know,
his
shrimp with it.
Another South Florida dining experience was we took all our leftovers and fed it to the huge catfish.
We did.
Who were swimming around us as we ate.
Yes. And that was probably the best part. But.
So that was, so anyways, I don't know what the point was. Oh, there were like, I haven't been out in a while.
Yeah.
Like in a really long time. And then Leanna and I were going to like, okay, we're going to brave the bathroom.
Oh my God.
We're
that was
do
the story
it.
You told me.
Yes. We're going to brave it in there.
What happened in there?
I haven't been out in a long time. And normally like drunk women in a bathroom, that's my scene. You know, I'm purple. You know, drunk women in a bathroom, they're great. They're like, give you good pep talks. They're very funny. They're like, really like, make you feel real good about yourself. You know, drunk conversations with women in a bathroom. No, there were three belligerently drunk, unmasked women.
They all had New York Jets jerseys on.
I don't remember. Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Actually, they did. You're right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it was crowded. Was it a game day?
Yeah, it was Sunday.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
so probably,
all right, that makes sense. Okay.
That makes more sense.
All right, it makes more sense. And that's fine. And I have no judgment towards drunk people at all. But, like, because, like I said, gotta love a drunk person. But, man, these people were, like, crazy in a very small bathroom during a pandemic, screaming without masks on at each other.
Oh my God.
But they were friends, so it was kind of weird. And they were trashing it. And these weren't, like, 20-year-old women.
No.
These women were, like, 50s. like maybe, yeah, I would say like mid 50s. And they were like, one took the bit, you know, those big industrial sized toilet papers, and she dumped it in one of the toilets.
That's okay.
And then there were like, there were other people in there, and then they left. And it was like such a scene. They were falling all over each other.
That's so weird. Cause like some of them like had the toilet paper, you know, like when your, some toilet paper gets stuck to your shoe.
Yes.
So a couple of them had like toilet paper stuck to their shoe.
They were a mess.
And
I'm like, is it because of the pandemic? This is like, I'm extra sensory towards these things, or is it just, I'm not drunk too? Or is it like, you know, you wonder.
Yeah.
You wonder, but don't, and it was small, and there's like, it's just really stressful. I don't know if it's worth it to go out right now. Just going to put that out there.
Yeah, we're going to have to stay in this weekend.
I just don't know.
We're not leaving again.
I don't know if it's worth it, honestly. Like, I was too stressed out. Like, you know, nobody's respecting space. You know, it was like really stressful. A lot of feelings. I'm all empathic, overwhelm. Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Anyway, well, a lot of people have been just changing the subject. A lot of people, you know, are concerned about my DMs.
Oh.
Earlier on in the podcast, I, you know, told people, you know, I'd get like 2-3 DMs a week. And then people started to DM me a lot more since then.
Oh.
Okay. So now I get more.
Okay.
Okay. But people are very concerned about it. And there was one that I got that I thought was a little strange. And I want to know if you could maybe help me out a little bit.
Yeah.
So someone actually, we know that me and you, or you and I.
I don't know.
I don't know the proper grammar.
Yellow people, fill us in.
Fill us in on that one. We're not. We are soulmates.
Yes.
But we're not twin flames.
We're not.
And we've said this on podcasts. We said this on IG
Live.
But Lives.
That's good. I'd rather that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I got this DM and it said in big caps, I am your twin flame.
What?
And
who is this?
It was a guy named Jack Twist.
Jack Twist?
Jack Twist.
Hmm.
He said, I am your twin flame.
He's coming for my Scotty.
I want to, you know, I think he said something about astral. I didn't read that part. He said he's from Wyoming.
You love Wyoming.
I do love Wyoming.
Oh, my God.
He said he wants to take me fishing.
No.
I'm not a big fisherman, so I don't know if I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Should I go?
No, Scott.
He could be my twin flame.
I don't want you connecting with your twin flame. That gets messy and complicated. We're married.
All right. I mean, I'd like to go, but maybe I shouldn't.
Well, did you see his picture?
I have not seen his picture.
Oh,
he just said his name.
You have to see, like,
Jack Twist, and he said, "Meet me on Brokeback Mountain." So
that's I'm not feeling this, Scott. I wonder, do you have any twin flame signs? Have you been dreaming about them?
Not that I recall.
Do you have like similar, like synchronistic things going on in your life besides the whole Wyoming thing?
I've been attracted to cowboy hats lately.
That's really weird.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. All right. Well, we have a new segment
let's
today.
Let's brush that under the carpet.
Yeah, let's brush that off. Forget that. All right. Maybe cool it off with the DMs, people. Not so many. I can't handle that many. I'm not.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not a good IG-er. But I'm terrible at Instagram. I can't even make a story right.
You're such an influencer.
Yeah. Huge influencer these days. All right. So we have a new segment.
New segment.
I'll let you introduce it.
Okay.
It's called
Let's Aura Explain That. So Ashley, who is in charge of our merchandise creation, she came up with this. I went crazy. She's Aura Explain, right? So she coined it. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, which is kind of off mansplaining, which is where you like explain something to somebody that they already understand in like a simpler form. And usually like mansplaining is like very condescending, but I would think Aura Explaining isn't. So let's Aura Explain That. And as we do these, you try to Aura Explain it at home, listeners.
All right. So back in the day, they used to have newspapers. Mm. I don't think they have them anymore.
Mm-mm.
And there used to be like columns like Dear Abby.
Yep.
There's another lady too, I think. But so these are like Dear MM.
Dear MM. Okay. Yeah. So we got these from some people.
Yeah. So we got this one here. It says, Dear MM.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law constantly gives me backhanded critiques.
Mm-hmm.
I am a mom of 3 and I'm not working right now.
Mm-hmm.
Her son, my husband, works a lot and is a great provider.
Let me just stop here.
Okay.
Let me just aura-splain this for a moment.
Okay.
Now, I don't ever picture anything.
No.
But right now, I sense an insecurity. So there's probably like an inauthentic blue thing going on with who's writing in. Okay. Because even though she's a mom and she's busy and she's doing all this stuff, I would call that like, you can tell she's still insecure that she's not working outside the home and contributing financially. And then what happens is when you have an insecurity and you wear it like an inauthentic aura color, people who love to prey on that find it. They see your weakness. So when you wear inauthentic aura colors, which I bet she's wearing an inauthentic blue, somebody can come in and start preying on you. All right, continue.
Okay. And the husband is a great provider and working a lot, so maybe
he sounds red or green. Yeah, okay. They like to work. Red and green people like to work.
Okay. But he doesn't see that his mom is mean to me.
Oh, he's green.
Okay. So
yeah, that's a green. I'll aura explain that. Green.
And only sees me as being overly sensitive
and
her being a very helpful person.
She could be indigo wearing inauthentic blue or just blue with like more blue. The blue's bigger. Okay.
She stopped by without calling. Mm-hmm. She comments on the cleanliness of my house.
Oh.
And she gets very upset when my children won't give her a hug or have a temper tantrum.
Oh. Mother-in-law sounds victim blue.
Victim blue.
Mm-hmm.
She also has a lot to say about me having a schedule.
Oh, she has a schedule.
Mm.
Okay, continue.
I like to keep my kids on a strict schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That could be yellow.
Yellow.
So that I can keep from going crazy.
Yes.
But my mother-in-law tends to make me feel bad about the nap times.
Yeah.
And the bad times. Naps, definitely. Indigo, blue.
Yeah, she sounds like, she's yellow. But she could be indigo yellow or blue yellow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the meal times that I'm very regulated about.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be nice to her, but I find that nothing works.
Mm.
My husband listens to me, but also thinks it's my job to make this better.
He sounds definitely green because green people work in logic. Like, this is what I see. This is what, you know, feelings don't count as part of the, what would you call it? Like the logic or like what's going on or like the reasons to be upset. Like you feeling bad isn't a reason.
Okay.
That's just a green person thing. They're like, the facts are mom's upset, make it better. You know, but I think mom-in-law is better at working with her green son and kind of like working with, you know, what he sees and doesn't see versus his wife, who sounds like she's a deep empath and yellow at the same time. So she's trying to navigate these two things. At the end of the day, your feelings are valid. And it sounds like she's trying to put up boundary with mother-in-law, who's always going to see that as a setup and an attempt to make her look victimized by her daughter-in-law. And this is like the son's playing into that trap.
Okay. And that mother-in-law probably definitely has some inauthentic color going on.
She sounds like victim blue and she sounds like she's manipulative. She could be like a little purple or something like that, but like intentions are off. Like she wants to set her daughter-in-law up and it causes a wedge between husband and wife.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on to another one.
Okay.
All right. So again, dear MM.
Okay.
My best friend has been in my life for years, many years.
Mm-hmm.
We've always hung out together, gone on trips, and basically been single together.
Mm-hmm.
I recently found someone and it's going great. He's really nice and we spend a lot of time together. My best friend all of a sudden has been commenting on how I'm codependent, how I don't have time for her anymore, and generally how selfish I have become.
Oh.
I'm very upset because I love my friend and I feel like she can't be happy for me.
Okay, yeah.
So what do you think of that one?
You know, it's hard. It's hard when you find somebody and, like, your friends react to that, especially if you've been single with your friend for, you know. So, obviously, this girl's friend is feeling, she's having an ego reaction, a knee-jerk reaction to feeling vulnerable, left out, and lonely. Instead of saying, like, I feel lonely. I feel like I'm not going to find anybody. I feel left behind. She's twisting it and turning it, and she's saying, you're selfish. You're codependent. You don't like me anymore. You've changed. So it sounds like the best friend here might have, like, a red in her, you know, where she's very, like, loud, and she's in, you know, she feels like she can just say things, you know, without a filter. But it also sounds like she might have some victim blue going on there, which is blue that's just been a little corrupted by the ego, and that's what it sounds like it's going
on. Now, I'm thinking the friend.
Yeah.
You know, the person who wrote the letter.
Yeah.
She's probably wearing an inauthentic, or she's probably absorbing the new boyfriend. So yes. she might be bringing on a new color. Mm-hmm. Let's say he's a green or red or whatever yeah. his color is, and then the best friend is picking up on that.
Yeah,
you know, obviously doesn't know that, but she's yeah. picking up on that. And she's like, why do you all of a sudden are you, why are you like so green? Like, why are you, you know, doing this or
Scott,
that?
Scott, that's so astute.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've orally or-explained that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I really love that. That's Thanks. Good. That's a good take.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's like, hey, why do you yeah. like going to this, yeah. this Two Georges and hanging out with unmasked people now? And yeah. she's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I like this. And it's like, you're just like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to do like a bowling analogy or, you know, something like that. Like, well, why all of a sudden you become a bowler?
Why are you a bowler? Yeah. Why do you like the Miami Dolphins instead right. of the Bills? Like, right. what's you've changed?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of absorption going on yeah. here. This, you know, obviously an indigo blue situation.
Yes, a lot of these happen to indigo blue people.
Now this is weird. You know, but, I know this when we put this segment out, yeah. people wrote to you, but actually someone did write to me.
Yeah, so
and they
let's
wrote,
see,
Dear Scotty.
Let's see what you have to say if you can or explain this, Scott.
Okay,
all right,
I'll try.
Dear Scotty. With everything that's going on, I feel extremely tired lately.
Okay.
I can't watch the news. I'm rarely on social media, and I've stopped interacting with my friends. I just want to be alone. I feel like everyone is angry, and they are taking it personally that I stopped answering calls or hanging out with everyone. I'm just so tired, and I don't feel like being anyone's friend right now. What's wrong with me?
Okay, so this person definitely came to the right place.
They did.
Okay. I am the indigo whisperer.
Yeah, you just know.
And I just know this person is totally indigo.
Yeah.
Can't handle the, you know, the climate that's
yes.
in our country right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
And she just wants to crawl into a little ball, go to sleep.
Feel that.
Watch, like, Vampire Diaries.
That's me. Yeah. I so relate.
Yeah. I know that's not you. You
yeah,
you,
that's
you
not
didn't
me.
You write that.
I can relate to this person.
But, I'm just kind of, like, conjuring, like, you now and thinking, like, how you are and... You know, other than that trip to Two Georges, which sent you over the edge, obviously.
It did.
As we just learned.
Oh, I did. I know. I had to go home and rewatch Vampire Diaries.
That's my take on it. You probably have a better take than I do.
No,
but,
that's what I would say. Yeah. Indigo.
Indigo. Definitely.
Yeah,
indigo.
Major indigo issues, you know. Okay. And it's very hard out there right now, and it makes you tired.
All right. We have one more.
Okay.
One more, dear MM.
Okay.
This one's back to you.
Okay.
Dear MM, I need advice.
Yes.
I was a struggling singer, dancer, and very shy. One night, a popular singer came into my club and swept me off my feet.
Oh.
Before I knew it, he was flying me on my private jet.
I was?
I was singing in front of thousands of people.
What?
And my dad was very proud of me.
Hmm.
That sounds like, what's that term you always use, like when someone comes up really
he
strong?
He love-bombed her.
Love-bomb, yeah.
Love-bombing.
Then I became popular on my own.
Uh-oh.
He started drinking heavily.
Hmm.
And sometimes he would fall asleep in bushes.
Oh, my.
Yeah. My biggest issue then became how I looked on a billboard. But now, I believe...
God.
It's a big issue for people.
I know where you're going with this.
No.
This isn't real.
No, it's real. Uh-huh. But now he says he's suicidal, and I feel he might harm himself.
Oh,
and
no.
It says, help from Philadelphia.
Is there love shallow? shallow.
It doesn't say anything about love being shallow. It's deep. Their love is deep.
Deep?
Yeah,
oh,
deep.
Yeah. She sounds like... A purple
okay.
who got love bombed by a green.
She sounds like a purple.
Who got love
bombed
by
a
green.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, like, you know, she was all needy and he liked that.
Yeah.
And then when she started, like, branching off and not being as needy of him.
Okay.
He went, you know, he made it all, you know, he kind of had to make it back about himself. And,
right.
you know,
so
went into his addiction.
Did he not see that coming? Like, as he brought her
it's
up.
It's a self-destructive tendency.
Oh, yes.
You know, like, he likes to find fragile things and then see how they don't need him anymore. And then it kind of makes him, it reaffirms the fact that he's worthless.
Wow.
And forgotten.
I am telling you, this is probably one of the best segments we've ever done, the Or-Explaining.
Yeah.
Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you for that term.
For that term.
Or-Explain It. I love this. We should do it more. I want to hear you guys Or-Explain your life to people.
Yes.
And other people's lives to people. They need it.
Yeah. Tell us about your Or-Explaining. Just maybe not in my DMs, but anywhere else. All right.
But
who's our sponsor today?
Here's the thing. Like, we love doing this podcast, so we thank you for helping us out and using our sponsors when you can. And today we have Rory. So taking care of your skin is important. I love skincare. I'm super into it. Right, Scott? I'm like, it's my thing.
I never met anyone more into it.
I really really do like skincare. I like it more than makeup or anything. I really love skincare.
Actually, our daughter's really into it, too.
Our daughter's, Brianna's
Bri's
so into it.
So into it.
It's, like, fun. It's very healing.
Yeah, I can't even see, like, the counter in the bathroom anymore. There's tons of stuff.
I encourage
mostly
it.
Rory.
It's good self-care.
Yeah.
Taking care of your skin is important, yeah. But if you experience, like, dullness or redness, fine lines, breakouts, all that fun stuff, finding the right treatment can be frustrating. But now there's a simpler, smarter solution to skincare with Rory. I know this might sound fancy, but with Rory, you can have a brand new skincare routine crafted just for you. It takes 5 minutes, and you never even have to leave the comfort of your couch. It's a digital health clinic just for women. They can help you treat all your skincare concerns, breakouts to redness. Getting started, simple. You complete a free online consultation at hellorory.com/KYA, and you'll hear back from a U.S. licensed healthcare professional within 24 hours. If appropriate, they'll prescribe a personalized skincare treatment plan that works just for you with free 2-day shipping, super fast. Rory is there every step of the way. You always have access to your healthcare professional for questions or to make changes for your treatment. You just write them. They write right back to you. It's very simple. There are no commitments and you can cancel any time. So just go to hellorory.com/KYA to try out your personalized treatment for just $5. It's personalized. You talk to a doctor, it's 2-day shipping, it's $5. That's HelloRory, RORY.com/KYA for a free consultation and $5 for your first order. That's HelloRory.com/KYA to get your first order for $5.
It's amazing. I do it. Our mailman Cliff does it. It's fantastic.
Everyone's doing it. When I was little, I would get really bad dreams. I would astral travel all the time. I know that's what I was doing now, but I didn't know that at the time. I would wake up in the middle of the night, like, completely afraid to go back to sleep. My mom eventually made something she called bad dream spray, which she would spray in the room, and it made me feel comforted. It made me go back to sleep. It was actually air freshener wrapped in tin foil, but it did the trick. It did the trick for years, but that's how bad it was. I would have experiences as other people, which I now know I was having past life stuff. I would have experiences with other people, dead people. I would have visions of things. I would have clairvoyant things, like precognition stuff happen. I would be in places I didn't know where I was. And it was very frightening at that young age. I didn't know how to deal with it. And also, I didn't know it was normal. And I still don't like going to sleep, but at least now I understand what's happening. But as a kid, I would go to sleep and end up in places and with people that felt real, and I felt very trapped. And I would see things I didn't understand. I was alone. I was scared. I didn't get it. And I would wake up in the middle of the night just screaming. It was very difficult. And to this day, I'm often up in the middle of the night just to get my bearings. I get messages all the time from parents wondering what to do with children who are experiencing similar things with sleep. Kids that say things about people that they see, but their parents don't. Kids who see things, they're very adamant about what they see. Kids who find lost objects. Kids who know someone is going to die. And otherwise, children just behaving in a way which cannot be explained. The range of parents' reactions is anything from fear to skepticism. Or encouragement overall, and possibly because the people that I end up speaking with are open to it. Most people that I talk to want their child to know that they're okay, and they want to know how to handle this in a way which benefits their kid and helps their gift grow and be useful to them. A lot of what I see with parents is the first thing I say is, like, you have to believe your child. Let's say they're making it up. Let's say it is their imagination. Okay, let's go. Whatever. It's important just to give them validation because they believe it. That's the first thing. Because I think parents are like, well, I don't know if I should encourage something that's not true. It's like, but they think it's true, you know, and they're kids. So just go with it. You don't have to say you're right. You can just say, oh, really? Oh, how cool. Okay, what else happened? That's all you have to do. Just go with it. Because when it builds up into things that you can't use coincidence to explain away with your kids, it's time to get them some different kind of validation, the kind which tells them that they do have a sensitivity which can be utilized to help them navigate this life. The thing with having a sixth sense is that it's just that. It's a sense. And to rid someone of it is the same as if we all blinded children at birth just because we couldn't see ourselves. That's what it does to kids who are particularly sensitive and they're told that it's not appropriate. You're taking away one of their senses. It's something that needs to be seen by us as parents and encouraged so that kids can not only use this, but also use it responsibly and correctly, that they understand what this gift of sensitivity is for, how it can help themselves and others, and even what the pitfalls of having it are, so as to avoid falling victim to symptoms of a gift you don't even get acknowledged for having, like anxiety. A lot of us who weren't encouraged have anxiety, stress, we have fear. You know, you get a feeling about something and all of a sudden your ego steps in and tells you that you're connecting with something bad or something bad, or you're the one that caused it. Or these are all symptoms of you having a gift that you were never encouraged of using. And that's what we can avoid with children. And if you don't have kids, it's time, you know, you can look at it in yourself right now. If you do have children, it might even trigger you like, oh my God, that happened to me as a kid. This is stressful. I have to tell them to hide it or shove it away or whatever. It's all something. Let's just stop, take a fresh look at it, and stop villainizing it because it's just a sixth sense. It's a sensitivity. You have to learn how to use it. All kids have a natural connection. This is true. And it's just that some kids are actually going to take that and use it in a magnified way. We can encourage this in all of our children because it doesn't hurt. And some will grow up and actually be able to do like mediumship or clairvoyance or read auras or all sorts of things which can spread messages of love and awareness to people they come in contact with. And like all things on this podcast, my goal here is to normalize the paranormal and to make people open to what it could be other than just calling it childish imagination. Because as children have this natural connection, they can use it. You can use it your whole life, whether you use it, like, you don't have to use it as a psychic. You might use it as a therapist. You're going to use it in all your relationships. You're going to use it in your corporate job. You're always going to use it. It can just help you. It helps you and it protects you. I'm going to get to that. The first thing to do is to encourage children, because usually I get parents like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Are they safe? Because sometimes it does present as scary. Like when I was a kid, like horrific nightmares. So sometimes it does present itself as very frightening. So the first thing you have to do is you have to encourage children, and you can do this yourself, to talk to their angels. They need to be able to call on higher beings that we all have around us for protection and assistance. It also, it helps children feel more in control of their gift. Kids understanding that the other side is there, and they understand it better than we do. It's the complexity we as adults add to it, which confuses everything. Children just accept it, like everything. Children accept it. That's why they're so resilient. They just accept. So to say there is a place that we come from and a place where we go, and that there are angels which watch over us until we go there again, it's something you can tell your children. You'll be surprised how clear that is to them. Okay, got it. You know, they don't question it. And it's something which can provide them with some foundational grounding with their gift. I do see a tendency for children, this is interesting, to be attracted to the name Michael or some form of that name depending on the language that they speak. Notice this because it's kind of crazy that the amount of times I hear my kid keeps mentioning Michael, Michael, Michael. Saint Michael is an archangel and he's a protective force. He's a protective angel. He's a protective energy. And I see kids mention that name a lot. Myself, the name Michaela, Mystic Michaela, which I go by in this work, is because I call on his protection. It's just a simple thing to do, to call on the angel Michael to protect your child. If you're open to that. If you're open to that. If not, do something else. That's fine. It's something that I often hear from different children anyway, and organically, that they see and talk to, and they'll play with a Michael. I was raised Catholic. So religion and spirituality was mixed. They were mixed a lot in my upbringing. And I truly believe there is room for God and this psychic ability. It's not something where you have to get rid of your own ability to perceive things in order to get close to God. On the contrary, this is God. This sensitivity is your connection to God, or that which is greater than us, whatever you want to call it. And that's a huge thing. I see people very scared. They're scared about believing that. That to put faith in this sensitivity takes something away from the faith that we have in God. But what if this is God? Because that's what it is. I teach my kids messages are from somewhere else. They aren't from us. Like when I do a reading and I give messages, that's not me. That's from a higher place. I do a lot of filter work to make sure I am worthy enough to receive and deliver these messages and that my ego is completely not here for it when I do a reading. That's the responsibility of me to make sure that I am giving these messages correctly. And that's what we have to really focus on when we teach our kids about how to deliver messages in a way that's pure and from the higher source and not infiltrated by our own wants or emotions or motives or intentions or anything like that. People get very nervous. Because that, you know, I was raised Catholic and you're not supposed to have faith in anything but God, you know, so I understand that going to see a psychic or something like that, that is something that I was taught is wrong. But then again, I was born in a psychic family, so we just kind of did it, but hid it. Very confusing. But anyways, I get that. Like when I talk to people who are religious, I get that. But this gift is from God. It's just you speaking His messages to other people because they're supposed to come from love. That's what it is. The messages are loving.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I teach my kids that messages are from somewhere else. They aren't from us. That's ego. The thought that a person can give messages to you of any sort of meaning. No, it's God or that which is greater than us giving us these messages. And explaining to children that this message is from a higher source can help you all funnel through some of the responsibility of this. Because sometimes kids are given very strong messages that can be very uncomfortable to carry. And to let them know that it's not their fault that they just made grandma cry because they mentioned grandpa's waving to her, that's important. My across the street neighbor, my friend, who's my neighbor, she has a 4-year-old. And she told me this story of how her little one had this music box. And she was just kind of like obsessed with this music box. And she was obsessed with making sure she brought it over specifically one day to her grandmother's house to show her the music box. Like she would not let it go. She was like one track mind about it. And she brought it over and she made a huge deal to wind it up and open it and show grandma the song. And grandma was so shocked and touched because that song was her mother's favorite song. Why the insistence? Why the random need to show grandma and specifically grandma that song? This is something my neighbor, you know, she allowed her daughter to do this. She and her mother gave this little girl, her 4-year-old, the validation that she had just delivered a little message of love from the other side to her own little girl, my friend's mom. It was a beautiful little moment of mediumship and they honored it. Now, in some families would be like, why'd you make grandma cry? Why are you bringing that over? That's silly. Don't do that. You know, like, what a coincidence. Or, okay, put it, you know, we're not, that's weird. Or she's attention seeking, you know, because they would want to shove away anything like that. But instead, that family handled it just like, oh my gosh, grandma, you know, oh, my mom's talking to me. It's so sweet through my granddaughter. Wow. You know, there's just, it's a different perspective because somebody from the other side, which was just fueled by love, wanted her to feel that. That's what mediumship is. That's what this gift is. It's supposed to come from love. So many psychic kids, so many sensitive children get told to hold their tongue, that the emotions that they bring to others are upsetting. We don't speak of the dead. We don't want to make others cry. We don't want to give that message because it will all make us uncomfortable. We don't want to look like we're indulging a child who's attention seeking. Spirit doesn't work that way. Spirit loves giving messages through children simply because children have no filter, which is a lot like spirit. Children are just like spirit. They just deliver the message and they move on. There's no ownership in it. It's not the child's message. It's spirit's message. And that can free up some of the energy there and the blame to just let the child deliver a message in a way which is not taking any sort of ownership or censorship. It's just given and we move on. That's a huge lesson for kids who are getting messages. Otherwise, they're told to hold their tongue. And then they associate this guilt, this gift with shame or oddness or unlovability or attention-seeking behavior, and they shut down that part of themselves to fit in. This is why so many people have a block to their own connection. That's why so many people I talk to are re-establishing their connection to spirit, because they were told at a very fundamental, foundational time in their life that it's inappropriate to do what comes natural to children, which is truly, you know, channel spirit. Telepathy. This is a big thing with kids. When I had my first child, I experienced major postpartum depression, and it was bad. And I had thought at the time, you know, I had this like weird thought, you know, I was going to therapy and all this kind of stuff. But at the time I was like, is this me like communicating with my kid, my infant? It was just like a little side thought. It was before I was doing this work full time, so I wasn't as like self-aware as I am now. But I was getting all this information from the other side, and it was really overwhelming. And the more I fought it, the worse and more isolating it was for me. And obviously, postpartum depression is a real thing, and people need treatment and outside help for it, because there are obviously different levels to it. And truly, brain chemicals, you know, they do get involved. And I'm all for like going to the psychologist and getting medication if you need it and all of that. But it felt like something more, honestly. And then in my second pregnancy, I felt it too, but it was different. And I feel like that's because I was more self-aware. I was doing this work more, and I had an idea what it was. It was me communicating with the baby and the baby communicating with me. Infants are very telepathic. They get in your energy. So with my first one, I wasn't used to somebody so in my energy like that. And with my second one, I understood what that felt like. It was a lot. It was a lot. It was very emotionally overwhelming. And then with my second one, I was just like, oh, okay, I'm more used to it because I was doing this work and, you know, and I had a feeling what it was. But yeah, infants are very telepathic. And what happens is when you have one, you awaken that gift like immediately, because that's how you speak to them. That's how you talk. Ask any mother, ask any father what happens when you're with a baby all day. You just know what the baby wants just by like their look or their cry or their body language, like their vibe. That's telepathic communication. You can say, oh, they're making a face, or it's more than that. Okay. They're talking to you. I see it continue with children, but then it lessens as kids develop language of their own. Words actually take away telepathic communication. Where I see it continuing is in children who are nonverbal. They will continue to communicate telepathically with parents and even with certain individuals who are also very emotionally psychic. That's why I see so many empaths in the field of like child therapy, things like that. It's a field which truly requires you to be emotionally psychic, because you are speaking with them on a different wavelength. It's amazing to me, like, because as children develop language, they lose their power of telepathy, because a lot of things words fall short of when you're reading energy and you're being telepathic. Some things just can't, it doesn't translate. It's more the language of spirit, which is just feelings, emotions, visions, things like that. It's how animals communicate too. And it's how infants communicate. And that I truly, you know, any new mom, any new dad, they've just reawakened their telepathy. that's what happens with a lot of us. And then you get emotional and it's just like a lot. It's very overwhelming. And then you can't handle people in your space that don't get it, you know, so because you're very overly sensitive to other people's stuff. That is a form. But okay, so, and I'll hear about children who can tell you, like, just using their telepathy that you're pregnant before you know it. They can say out loud something you were just thinking. They can sense what you want as you think about it. They can pick up how others feel just being in their presence. Kids have a natural ability just to know the vibes of other people. They speak energy. They can pick up what they are thinking. It's something we are born with, telepathy. And it doesn't go away, like I said, until we replace that sense with words. When you start to have to use words to explain these feelings you're getting, some power is lost. Because like I said, some things cannot be explained. Have you ever had a kid like hate someone and then later on you find out that person truly was like not right in the head? We believe it with dogs and cats more than we believe it with kids. Which I think is hysterical. Like if your dog doesn't like someone, you're like, you look at them twice. But kids do this too. If your kid doesn't like someone, it's kind of a sign of something. Like they're picking. I get this all the time. Like young children who young children who go after like a member of the family and they don't care. And the thing is like, you know, we're all taught, be polite, you know, and yes, it is important to be polite and be conscientious and stuff like that. But some adults have messy energy and some kids are not going to stand for it because they haven't been taught yet to be socially appropriate or to shove their own feelings down. Because if someone's energy is inappropriate and messy, kids will react to it. My eldest daughter, she would go to anyone when she was little, like anyone. And it was kind of insulting, honestly, like anybody. Like, yeah, you, all right. But when my friend's fiance wanted to hold her, she was like, no freaking way. Like she freaked out. And it was weird. It was weird. And I knew she was picking up something on him. He was chameleon green. He had a chameleon green aura. So I was already wary of him. And if you want to know more about what that shade of green means, I just did a bonus episode about all the shades of the aura and what they mean. You can check that out. It's only 17 minutes, chameleon green. But it confirmed it to me that he was not right. Even though he was like the biggest schmooze. Like everyone's like, oh, he's so charming. You know, like that. Well, fast forward 10 years later, I haven't talked to her in a long time. And she just reconnected with me for a reading, and he turned out to be a total headcase narcissist who had just made her whole that past 10 years miserable, and they're like totally divorced now. But like kids always know. You have to trust your kids when they say someone's off or weird or they don't like someone. It's their own protection system. They can trust this gift, and then they trust it. And if you teach them to trust that, to trust that intuition and not always have to put words to why they don't want to be around somebody, that can save them from a lot of stuff. Early on, it can save them from people who want to hurt them, manipulate them, take advantage of them. This is something that we have to tell our children, trust that gut feeling. If that little tummy flop goes, or you just don't like to be, you don't have to question that. You don't have to put a sentence to that. You don't have to put words to that. You walk away. That's it. We'll figure it out later. That is their telepathy, their sixth sense, their sensitivity protecting them. And we need to tell children to listen to that and not worry about being rude. You know, the gift is not just for giving message. It's for protection of self. Like we are supposed to use it to help ourselves. And it's amazing. Because we wonder why down the road we pick the wrong friends, the wrong lovers, the wrong environments to work in. Because we were told to shut down our ability to pick up vibes, to telepathically to communicate, to understand what's really going on underneath the words that are being said. Because these words are an illusion and the vibes are the real thing. So we were told to ignore the vibes and just pay attention to the words. And that's not how this works. So we have to help our children encourage them to keep this going so they can keep that gift for their whole life. That's what it's for. You may see kids take interest. This is another thing in like crystals or other mystical things, but then they take it to the next level. Like I'll see kids get very attached to certain crystals and they will want them to be with them in school or, you know, sleep with them or put them in their pockets. It's not all kids, but notice it. Like a very sensitive psychic child will have an innate understanding of what the crystal is for too. You can test them with it. Ask them to go into a shop and pick out the one they like and have them describe why, and then make them go beyond because, you know, oh, it's a pretty color. Like, oh, okay, why else do you like it? Like, why do you think we need it or whatever? And then let them pick out one for you or for dad or for brother. And you'll see them start to move their psychic muscles as they get the tune and vibration of the crystal energy. I see all kids being able to do this, but honestly, like turquoise kids and even green kids, like they get really into rocks. Purple kids, you know, like it's something that it's fun. So why not? It's fun. They have a little collection. I'll get back into that though. But like imaginary friends, I wanted to get into. Not all kids have them, but if you had one as a kid, or if you have a kid that had one or has one, man, you know how real they are. It's a thing. And kids get real defensive about it. My little one, she's five. She has, his name's Bob Gerald. She gets like, he's 45. She can tell you what he looks like. She can tell you what he died of. He's dead. He's always around. He has his own, like, you know, on Netflix, everybody gets their own channel. He had to have his own Netflix channel. Like, he's very real to her. Now, Bob Gerald does get blamed for things that we know that she did. So I understand that Bob Gerald sometimes is like, you know, her way of getting out of stuff. But then other times, like, she's so adamant about it, like the way that he looks, don't stand there, don't move that, you know. I feel like there's something to it. It's weird too, because this house isn't old that we live in. We were the first people that lived in it, but there's something in this house. And before she was born, we all had experiences with a little boy here. And I feel like it was attached because we live in this house that actually it's like we live in Florida. So this makes sense if you understand Florida. It's like a model home. So we bought it, had all the furniture in it because it was used to show what houses look like so that you could, you know, buy a house or whatever in the same development. So anyway, so when we bought it, had all the furniture in it, which was super cool. But it was set up for like a girl's room and a boy's room. And at the time we moved in, we just had a 2-year-old girl. So whatever, the boy's room, we used it as a playroom. We had so much stuff go on in there. Like I could tell you so many stories about this little boy who lived there. My other daughter played with him, you know, when she was 2, she doesn't remember it now, but she used to play with him. The lights would only go off in that room. My mother had an experience. I had a girlfriend sleep over here. She saw him in the middle of the night. So all sorts of stuff. When we got rid of the furniture, when my youngest daughter was born, we got rid of the furniture. And when we got rid of the furniture, everything kind of stopped happening so much. So I feel like he was attached to whoever designed this house. And I tried to look, I feel like he was attached to the decorator of this house. And there was something with that boy's room. There was some attachment there with the furniture and her, with this boy. And so maybe he was lost to her or something like that, and he was attached to the furniture. Anyways, we feel like that's something to do with Bob Gerald, because as soon as I put my daughter in there, that's just weird stuff was happening, and she keeps talking about this 45-year-old man named Bob Gerald. So I feel like there's some sort of attachment between that room, her, and this male energy. Although we saw him as a child, she sees him as this 45-year-old man. It's very odd. It's a very odd connection, but she's super adamant about it. And I hear about this a lot. I often will see kids, my friends tell me or clients tell me, like, kids set a place at the table for their imaginary friend, or they just talk to them, or they start to make them as real as possible. And some of it is play, and that's normal. That's what kids do. But what if they start telling you about the history of a person, where they were from, what they're wearing? Really ask some questions and see what you get. I have heard about children describing imaginary friends which fit descriptions of people who've died in the house hundreds of years ago. The details you get from kids can't be ignored. I often find that just asking questions and letting them talk is a great way for them to just flow and be heard and validated and grow their gift. You don't have to say anything except, okay, wow, it's cool, and just listen.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I had a member of the MMSF, the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family page, share that she, growing up, had this imaginary twin. And she thought when she grew, oh, it's just her way of coping with being an only child. Well, when she was 16, she found out that she was a twin, but her sister passed at birth. Okay, was that an imaginary friend or was that her sister playing with her? You know, mediumship in children. Babies who are cooing and laughing over your shoulder, but nobody's there. But who do you think of right away if that's ever happened to you? Think quickly who comes to mind when this has happened. That's who it is. If you feel like, oh, that's dad or grandpa or aunt, whoever, it probably is. I have this friend whose baby looked over her shoulder and pointed at a painting on the nursery wall and said, birdie. Now, there were no birds in that painting, but you know who painted it? The woman's husband's deceased grandmother. And what was that woman's name? Birdie. You know, these things, kids are direct channels. They will talk, people on the other side will talk to little ones all the time from the little from the other side. They play with them, they hold them, they give them comfort, they protect them. It's important to believe your kid, to just go with it, to say hello too. It's such an effort for those on the other side to come through and give signs. A lot of us have an idea of how they should come through, what they should say, what they should do. But that makes it hard for them to come through when you are controlling how they can do it. So it's best to be open to however they do this and see the signs and accept them just as that, expressions of love, and honor the person who delivered it. Honor the child. How many times have you seen things growing up in your own rooms and homes? I would say many of you have. And you can't explain it, but you know what happened. We lose a lot of this. We pretend it didn't happen, but it did. Past lives are something children are closer to and can talk about as well. My own youngest daughter insisted that she was pregnant with me. Like, I can't talk her out of it. Kids will talk about who they were in a past life. They'll have knowledge of places and events and even machinery or science or things or times that items that they shouldn't even know about. If you press a kid gently about what they see when they're in the mood to talk about it, it can be mind-blowing. So many of us just brush off our kids talking as play. But when you get them going, they will start saying things they just cannot know. Kids will have an awareness of how it works on the other side too. Where you go, what it looks like, what happens over there. They will talk about who they were before they were your baby. Such a common thing I hear. The most common thing, actually. They have this understanding of death that it is not as permanent as our more adult understanding. It's more the understanding that it's transition rather end of life. Take your kid to an antique store, like, and try to show them some things that were common household items, maybe even 50 years ago or whatever, like a butter churn or, you know, an old rotary phone. What do you think this is? Have them play with it. See what they say. You know, it could jog some sort of past life remembrance. Children who are very creative, empathic, and spiritual, I will see kids getting really into creating altars of their own creation. Now, this is a way to help kids develop it. Give children like some nature, crystals, even religious objects, and see what happens. How many of us have given our children the nativity scene at Christmas to play with? What do they do with it? Let them play with these things. The menorah, give them the candles, like give them a version that they can safely play with. I personally was taught as a Catholic, growing up Catholic, that it was sacrilegious to play with rosaries or statues of Mary or Jesus. But I honestly feel like that's wrong. Kids who have these things to play with form connections with spirit through it. Through play, they connect. It's a sacred, beautiful thing. You can tell them to play gently, and they'll play gently, and you'll see them. It's a form of praying. It's a form of connection, and it's really beautiful. It's this place they can go to where they can be touched by that which is greater than us. So giving kids these religious items, if that's what you do, or crystals, amulets, angel statues, safe little things which can hold essential oils like lava beads. You don't want to give them actual essential oils because they can get sick, but like you can stick them in lava beads and so they can smell them and whatnot. Let them play. Let them make little fairy gardens or a garden to honor grandma who passed, and let them have full control. Be like, here it is, you make it. Let them go to it and speak to it and rearrange it and connect and just make little changes and color on it, whatever. And maybe, you know, maybe we need to do that too. Take these items, create from them, make them reflect where we're at. It's a way to strengthen your child's gifts. And honestly, it's a very cathartic way to strengthen your own, especially when you're grieving somebody and you just kind of make a little altar and you can change it every day or move it around or put a little toy there or something. It's just, it's nice. It's a way that children connect that's very pure. I have to talk real quick before we end about the term indigo children, because I know you guys are going to ask me about that. Now, I did an episode called Inner Child Aura. It's episode 20. And there I talk about like the aura colors of children, which is this is more about psychic kids. And that's about different aura colors of children. And I'm going to do another one with a different angle, more in depth. And then I have another one planned where I talk about empaths, raising empaths. But that's all coming in future episodes. But the term indigo children is different than when I talk about like indigo aura color. The indigo children term was coined in the 1970s by Nancy Ann Tapp. And it was used to describe children with like supernatural traits. It's a little vague. That's a thing. Like it's a little vague. Like if you read it, the traits, it's like, don't feel like you fit in, you know, like it's kind of stuff that like, honestly, it feels more like empath stuff. So it's like kids, when I talk about kids who are like blue or turquoise or purple or indigo, it kind of fits all of them. But it was revolutionary at the time because, you know, it kind of got picked up. It was talking about kids who are more sensitive and like a whole generation of them being born with these like supernatural abilities, which are truly just, I feel like, I take it more as like an empathic revolution, an empath revolution beginning. And, when you read the traits of the indigo children, the way that she talks about it, it's basically the same traits as I would call like empath children. Empathy is a psychic gift. And I feel like it's coming to a point in our culture where we are finally becoming advocates for our own empathy. And back in the 70s, they were starting to really understand that shift was happening. And the children born from them and then until now are not only more sensitive, they're being raised in times where there's more and more outlet to speak to that. And I feel like that's the rise of empathy. And as we shift again into more of a fifth dimension perspective, a separation of ego from the spiritual body, we can see it more as, you know, this development in our children, a strengthening. All they need is encouragement and advocacy, that their empathy, their kindness is a gift that needs to be shared. It's interesting because I'll see kids, you know, those old photos of children from, you know, the early 1900s or like early photographs of children. The colors are very muted. It's a lot of inauthentic aura colors. It was a different culture then. Everyone was way more suppressed. So as that's lifted, our children are more able to be born and take on these gifts that they weren't allowed to back then. So people ask me like, when you see old pictures, unless somebody's like super duper purple or something like that, honestly, a lot of them were wearing a lot of inauthentic colors. Society was a lot more suffocating of children. And a lot of that's just the times and the survival and generational and things like that. But it's different now. And that's why I think, you know, these rise of empath awareness, empath kids, like a whole new generation is coming forward and it's going to change us. It's going to change everything. You know, yes. So advocacy, you know, kindness is a gift that needs to be shared. And understanding that this spiritual gift, this sensitivity, this psychic ability, it's channeled from somewhere bigger than us because it's about love. It's really about love. Like when you give a message, it's love. When you connect to somebody telepathically, it's love. It's seeing somebody outside of yourself and connecting to them. That's what God does. So that's what that which greater than us does. And I feel like being aware of our psychic children and encouraging them as much as possible to keep that connection strong as long as possible makes for more balanced kids. Children who believe that magic is not childlike. Magic is the things people cannot see but still have belief in. And that magic is faith. And faith is the blind belief that there is something connecting to you to what's bigger. That your life has purpose. And that love is the purpose. And the way to show children this is just by listening and learning from them as they unabashedly embrace their own ability to love and give message and just be present without shame, without worry of outside perspective, of just being themselves purely. And when I see people raising their kids this way, it's beautiful. So good job for taking a minute today and thinking about this, thinking about how to do this for your own children and thinking about how to do this for yourself. Because at some point your own connection might have been severed or not encouraged or reshaped or just life, you know. And let's take a minute. Let's get back to that. Let's get back to that. Hey, Scotty.
Hey. So psychic kids.
Yeah.
It's real. Obviously, we have one ourselves.
Yes.
Maybe two.
Yeah, definitely Brianna.
I have one question. Like, yeah. A lot of people do write in, like, as a child, I was able to see colors. Mm-hmm. You know, I was always – but now I don't really see them anymore. Or my kid sees colors now. Will they always be able to see these colors?
Yeah.
And is that, like, something that kind of just goes away?
You know, that's the power the ego has over – our bodies, like we want, it, when you're a kid, the line between the two worlds is
thinner,
a lot thinner. Mm. The veil is thinner. And if we keep telling, oh, you know, there's no such thing as ghosts, or oh, that's make believe, or oh, that's silly, you know, immediately, okay, you know, they say, okay, and they shut that door.
Right.
So that's why it's kind of cool to be like, oh, well, just, you know, ask the questions and encourage it. You know, you don't have to go over the top, but you can just see what they have to say. It helps them keep that gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that just, I guess, over time, as it you get dims. Older and life gets in the way.
Yes, and you have to dims. Keep using it. That's
right.
Kind of the thing. You have to keep using it. But it's hard because you don't want nobody, you know, society does not accept it.
Right.
It's not an accepted form of being. So I think in houses that are more comfortable with it, kids have a stronger use of their intuition.
Right. So like when I grew up and I was going to be a psychic kid, you know, my parents didn't really believe me. So I, you know, I'm not psychic now, but you know, Brianna, we always believe her.
I
always think Abby's saying psychic things. And
yeah, she's more telling you about kind of like what happens on the other side a lot.
Yeah, it's scary.
And Brianna is better at telling you what's going to, she's more precognition, what's going to happen and people's true natures.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Abby the other day, like, had me in sweats.
I know you had a panic attack.
I had a panic attack.
For real? You know, you really did.
No, I did. I really did. Yeah. Well, we asked the...
Well, why? Why?
Well, because she was, like, talking about, like, dying and, like, what happens to you.
She was going to... No, she was telling you, like, this is what's going to happen to you, Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, you'll go first and then I'll find you.
All right. I don't want to have a panic attack on the broadcast.
Okay.
So we asked Mystic Michaela's spiritual family
yes.
some of their stories. And, you know, we just picked out a few. And here's one. Abby wrote, she used to talk to her imaginary friend and always saw things that no one else did.
Mm-hmm.
One time she told her mom, I think Papa's going to die soon.
Mm.
2 days before he died.
Wow.
She could always accurately guess the gender of unborn babies.
Wow.
She would also tell her mom that someone was going to have a baby before they even announced it. But she's not good at it anymore.
It sounds like what she was doing and what she has probably still the ability to do, she just has to turn it back on, and she can communicate with people's higher selves. So there's your conscious self, and then there's like your super conscious self, which is like your soul self or your higher self. That's around you all the time. That's what communicates like with me during a reading, or communicates with, you know, one another in dreams or astral travel. And children can pick up on, you know, even if you don't think you're going to die, your higher self might be communicating with somebody more sensitive to, my time's up, that kind of a thing. Which is why a lot of times people will do kind of weird things before they die. I don't know, you know, like,
yeah.
Like you're like, they weren't expecting to die, but then you saw that they got their affairs into order, they seemed to say goodbye to somebody, or they seemed to like leave a note in a certain spot or do things, even though they knew they didn't know they were going to die. It's like on another level they did. Some people can pick up that other level of yourself that knows, and children can. So it sounds like she was able to communicate right. with the souls of the babies, you know, in utero, the souls of people, you know, the higher selves of people who are preparing to leave this earth. So yeah, that's a gift that children have.
Wow. And then as it, like we said, as society gets in the way.
And then like another thing that shuts it down is like when that scares you. Like if your kid's like, hey, your dad's going to die in 2 days. You're like, oh my God, don't say that.
Yeah.
Like don't ever talk that way. Right there, oh, gift is gone. Because they just say it. They don't, it's not wrong, but they then associate it with being wrong. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, Brigitte writes, when she was a child, she used to see things that have all kind of come true now. The most notable one was when she was a little girl. She says she saw her future husband. I remember it clear as day. I was driving my parents across a bridge and had this vision of a handsome man with dark, wavy hair that was from Europe.
Ooh. Oh, that's specific.
Yeah, very specific. When I met Mike, I felt like I knew him my whole life, and a voice inside my head said, you're going to marry him.
Oh.
It was the same guy from the vision.
I just got chills.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, she definitely was. Okay, so when you're born and you're small, you have more of a vision of your soul contract. So your soul contract, you create, I did a whole episode on it. I forget what number, one of the earlier episodes. You have like major points kind of placed for your soul contract. So sometimes one of those things is who you have to be with, you know, in the future. So when you're a child, you're more in tune with your soul contract and what's included on it. And it sounds like she had already made the agreement with her husband what this was going to look like in the future.
Wow.
And she was able to see that. She was able to see her soul contract as a child. Crazy.
That is crazy.
That's cool.
That is really cool. All right. Sasha wrote, my son said he watched me drown as a young girl.
Oh, past life.
Yeah. He said he tried to help save me. He told me this when he was 2.
Wow.
And as a matter of fact, she almost died drowning as a child.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Yeah.
So she did almost drown as a child?
Yes.
And then what was his vision?
Her son said that he watched me drown as a young girl. Mm-hmm. He said he tried to help save me. He told us when he was 2, and then she said she almost died drowning as a
child.
That
could be her son had helped her. Even though he was like her angel, or he had seen that happen as when she was a kid. That's interesting. Or it's a past life thing where she had actually died in a past life and he was there. But it sounds, after you finish the story, it sounds more like he was able to see that from the beyond.
That's
like before he even existed on this earth, he could see his mother that way. So it's like a vision.
Wow.
Oh.
I'll do a couple more here.
Okay. These are cool. I like these.
Yeah, these are pretty cool. Chelsea wrote, as a child / teen, I would always know or have a feeling when something bad was going to happen. Car accidents, mainly. I once told my family we would have to wait to leave the house, and I didn't know why. Then we drove by a 4-car accident on the road we were taking.
Wow.
So basically spirit telling her, hey, take 5 minutes.
There's radio waves. It's like, think of it as radio waves. That's how spirit talks. Some of us pick up the frequencies. Some of us ignore the frequencies. When you're younger, you pick them up. But they're always going. They're always out there. They're always out there. You have to listen to your intuition. But then we get nervous because we're like, oh, am I just paranoid? Or is it OCD thinking or things like that? But sometimes you can learn the difference between just an OCD thought and a spirit message. It feels more like truth or something very, it's not emotional. You just are like, I can't do that. That's not going to happen. It's more like that. And it doesn't have fear in it or anything else. It's just kind of like a truth. And the more you pay attention to your intuition, the more you can differentiate between your own fear thoughts versus spirit messages and warnings.
All right. Let's do one last one.
Okay.
Ended on kind of a funnier note here. Somalia, she says I hope I said that, pronounced that name right. Her dad says she was a psychic kid. He wanted to play the lottery. Sounds a lot
sounds like somebody.
Me. It sounds like me. And one time he asked her for the winning numbers. She gave him the numbers. Those numbers came in.
Stop.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the dad changed one of the numbers. He said he lost his nerve and he changed the last number and he didn't win. And he has regrets to this day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he cries every single day.
Yes.
Added that in. But he did not win the lottery. And here's the thing for me. You tell me lottery numbers, I'm already there. Like, I'm not changing anything.
Yeah.
You, Bree, or Abby, give me lottery numbers, I'll take the $5 or whatever it is. And I'll put it on those numbers.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm not going to live with that regret.
That's
because I know those numbers are going to come in. If I play it, probably not. But if I don't, they're definitely coming in.
Remember when I got the Superfecta for the Kentucky Derby?
Yes.
But no, it wasn't the Kentucky Derby.
Preakness.
The Preakness. Remember? Yeah. I got the Superfecta. Now, if you get the Superfecta in the Preakness and you put, how much money was that?
I don't remember.
I think it would have been like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, thousands of dollars.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and like you weren't going to put like a ridiculous, you put even $2 on it.
Yeah.
And if it comes in, it's like thousands of dollars or something like that.
Yeah.
And I had it.
Yeah.
And before you went in, and I wrote, I had it on paper and everything.
Uh-huh.
And before
True story.
Before you went in, I think I was like, oh, just focus more on this. Don't put money on that or something like that. And, but that's when I was pregnant with Abby and I was way more good with numbers.
You were good.
And stuff when I was pregnant with Abby.
But we did win. We had the winner. We had the exacta, which is the first two, first and second. No one's probably a horse racing fan here. I don't know. And then we had the triple, which is first, second, and third.
Yeah, we got that.
So we had all those. And
we won like
all
a lot.
But there was actually.
But I was like, the superfecta.
do you remember? And this was, I think, a little bit before. before we, you know, started the whole practice and maybe we had a little more time on our hands. But there was like there was like 10 weeks in a row. We'd go like every Saturday to Pompano, which is like a racetrack around here. And we won like 10 Saturdays in a row. We had the winner like 10 weeks in a row. You just picked a number out of a hat. Like, I don't know how you picked it.
Yeah, I would. I can see the numbers.
You just saw the numbers. I would go, or we'd go together. You were pregnant, like you said.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would just drive
back
the race,
this.
And we'd come back and watch it on TV.
I was very psychic with the horses when I was pregnant with Abby.
Yeah, it was
now it kind of went away.
It was like a stream of income for us for a while. Yeah, it was like it was a big stream of income.
But what is that? Like, because when I was pregnant with her, I was way more psychic with the numbers.
It's interesting.
Then now I'm not.
I don't know.
That way. Yeah. Like now it's like, I and also I don't care. And also I feel bad for the horses. That's like my
new thing. Well,
maybe
this is like that thing where you feel like the veil was thinner for numbers at the time. I don't know.
And Abby is good at math. So.
Abby is good at math. Yeah. Now I just go by names. I picked the winner of the recent Kentucky Derby,
but
I was so authentic just by the name.
Yes.
I did not bet it.
Yeah,
because you know, I was like, who has the Kentucky Derby in September? It was bothering me.
I know.
You know, so my red stubbornness got
and nothing's
in the way.
Open. You're like, I have to go to this like casino and blah blah blah. Yeah, you know, it's all stressful.
And the Kentucky Derby is always the first Saturday in May, so I couldn't get over that fact.
Oh, Red Rant. All right,
Red Rant. Now let's end it. All right, it's been a great show.
Thanks, guys, so much for listening. We appreciate you. See you over on the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family Facebook page. Take care, guys.
If you want to be the most interesting person at the cocktail party, well, hop on over and listen to the Brain Candy Podcast.
Our award-winning content will have you laughing whilst you're learning.
We read all the best articles, books, and studies and keep up with new TV shows, documentaries, and pop culture. Then cram it all into two shows a week.
Conspiracy theories, cannibal rabbits, unsolved mysteries, the history of the Walkman. There's something for everyone.
The Brain Candy Podcast. Find our link in the show notes.
Or simply search for the Brain Candy Podcast on your podcast app.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.